So the first question about your leadership, CIG, is what kind of leadership, not necessarily your role, to start with in general, what kind of leadership is asked for, called for, in, say, CIG?
The first thing I notice is that I don't really have an answer. So I don't have a big leadership strategy. I don't have a big kind of, okay, this is the kind of leadership which we need, and now I'm going to roll out this kind of leadership. I also get in my head this, you know, it feels, yeah, so the way the way I lead is by being me and doing what I feel needs to be done. So it's an interesting question, and I get this picture of, you know, the joke about the millipede with 1,000 legs and this kind of bumps into a bird and the bird says, how on earth do you coordinate all those legs? You know, and the millipede stops to think about it and he never walks again. You know? So there's something about an intuitive form of leadership, which I don't spend a lot of time thinking about it, to be honest. But if I now think about it and you say, what kind of leadership does the CHE need today? Then I get two dimensions to that. One is, what kind of leadership does the world need today? And then I'm looking at a leadership which stays as closely connected to what's happening in reality that isn't attached to old understandings of how things should be done, that is paying attention to new signals and new innovations that are emerging, that is trying to create the conditions for the emptiness and the space within which truly innovative stuff can emerge. So there's that context, and I think therefore that's also, that kind of leadership is also what's needed within CHE. And then the other piece I get is the kind of, there's the question of where the CHE as an organization is now in its own development. What kind of leadership is therefore needed in that context?
Maybe the life cycles of ISIS.
Mm.
Useful stuff to put in. Yeah, we are now.
Yeah, it would be. But I don't have it in my kind of system enough to be able to speak consciously to it. But I remember when I asked Art Hordijk a while ago to give us an assessment of where we thought we are and what kind of, you know, management styles we use. That was quite a useful reflection. But if I think now, I tell you, in general, I think my pattern in leadership is I'm always trying to, it's what's the minimal amount of intervention that is needed to be able to keep the system and the people in that aligned to move in the right general direction. So my general beginning point is, how much can I leave with the people, the other people in the organization? So how much self-organization and self-leadership can I allow to happen? And what's the minimum amount of intervention or ordering that I need to do for that to be able to move in the right general direction, essentially? So, and it's over the years, I've noticed it's, you know, gradually, I'm able to do less, for that leadership to become more and more subtle in its energy. So whereas at the beginning, it, you know, I had to do a lot of the stuff myself, and then now it's much more of a, much more subtle interventions because there's other people doing it, basically, now.
Can you see a difference between that now and a year ago or 2 years ago in that respect?
Yeah, 1 or 2 years ago, particularly with the formalisation of the school and Synervate with Ariane and Alain, taking those leadership roles. Then yeah, that gives me more space. So I'm continually looking for more space to create, to connect to a bigger context, let's say. But then there was, I remember there was a period where I really felt I was too much in it, and I tried to, and I pulled out quite a long way, and then I realized that it was too far, and I had to kind of come back in and reconnect again. So it's a continual dance between how much space do I leave, and I guess I'm not so conscious of it. When I think about it, I know that I try to create a vacuum in a way. There's always a vacuum between the vision or what I'm inviting people into and where we're at, and there's an invitation to come into that vacuum. But if you move too far out, then the vacuum collapses somehow. There's no tension field, so it's like almost two magnetic poles and two magnets, and they need to be. And there needs to be a strong exchange between them. But if you take the magnets too far away, then there's no magnetic field. And the magnetic field is too weak. So it feels like a continual dance.
Is it still recording? Or is it on the...
Yeah.
If we look at it in terms of the spiral course, look at how you manifest your subtle leadership.
Mm.
Is there anything to say about it? I think a bit of extra red is needed for my role now, or a bit of extra this or that, or a bit less of that. Shift in time in terms of course.
Yeah, there's definitely been a development. I mean, when we started this up, I was probably very much in an exiting green, entering yellow, which meant I was cognitively very aware of what yellow required. And you know, it's not much good for an audio recording, but if I think of the movements, Dylan, around yellow, which are selective and boundaries, you know, so this we select in and this we keep away, then that was often a little bit raw at the first phase. It was like, you know, no, we're not going to do it like that, yes, we are going to do it like that. And my kind of perspective was a real need to protect a second-tier environment in the organization, and with a particular alarm signals which go on when green would creep into the behaviors and the thinking. It was like, okay, to be able to make that distinction, which was maybe also needed at that time. And now, I guess the yellow is probably more embedded somehow, and I'm becoming more aware of the end of what it means to lead more from a more energetic perspective, but that's not yet embodied enough for me to be conscious of it, for me to consciously do that. It's something I'm learning and discovering, but it's not yet something I'm aware of enough to be able to say I'm consciously leading from turquoise. I can say that. I'd say maybe, you know, unconsciously. What is those unconsciously incompetent kind of things? Probably it's like beginning to get unconsciously competent of turquoise, but not yet able to consciously be aware. On the earlier value systems, in terms of integration, what's needed now? I think I've outsourced blue. As I do it, engage as well. yeah, it's you know, I can if I want to get really structured about stuff, but it's not where I like to hang out. So I need other people around me who can do that. I mean, that, you know, now we've got that process for projects and stuff which we developed. You know, those steps and everything. That's great. You know, that's there, and it's not something I would. I felt like when we were going through it, I was holding space so we could just get on and do it, but it's not something I would, you know, want to be managing, as it were. And I feel I have quite a lot of orange, actually, which is that, you know, if I believe in something, I can go out and sell it, and I can go and, you know, I can be pretty self-expressive about improvement and getting somewhere and all of that. I think in the first phase, so this was what we were talking about 5-6 years ago, I was still busy with the integration of green, which meant that I had quite a lot of rough edges around that. and lent more to, I was kind of in that phase of pushing away from the green to create space for the yellow, which meant that, you know, sometimes I wasn't maybe as sensitive as I could be to things. But the last couple of years, actually particularly in the, as you begin to explore, it's interesting, as you begin to access turquoise, that streams into the green, which helps the green system to heal itself. So I feel now I've got more of that sensitivity integrated, so I can turn that on if I want. Purple, I love purple. We don't do enough purple, actually. We should do more purple.
I mean, last question before we go to the feedback. What do you think, how is your leadership perceived? What do you think, what you're going to see now?
Yeah, that's an interesting. How is my leadership perceived? Who filled it in? Everyone here, right? Yeah. Anybody else who's not here?
Arts?
Jan?
So are you, is your question specifically about how a spiral analysis of how people see me?
It's okay,
I should think it's quite a lot of perception of yellow, more from the kind of maintaining an overview of things and an understanding of dynamics. I'm interested to see what the perception is of green, because I feel that's evolved over the years. Some people have been in this journey for longer than others, so I'm interested, you know, what's been up to see what's the perception around that now. I don't imagine that there's a huge perception of turquoise, because I don't feel it's very explicit in myself, so although it may be implicit for me at the moment, I don't if we had an appropriate understanding of turquoise, which is always the question, of course. But I don't think that's that explicit at the moment. Probably not much experience, or not much experience of blue. Orange goes in waves. There's times when I'm more reflective, when I'm not so sure again of exactly what the story is, and then the orange withdraws. And then there's times when I'm really clear on stuff, and the one which I'm just moving into now, I think, and then the orange kind of comes out a lot more again. Red is an interesting one as well.
Red.
It can be quite strong, and it was when I was in that kind of green to yellow transition more, that the red was rawer. And it's an interesting reflection for myself just in terms of how has that red system changed its quality as I've integrated it more. Because I did have a long kind of journey around integration of red. When I first did a spiral scan with Don 8 years ago or something, mm-hmm. It was like high turquoise, yellow, green. In fact, I think it went yellow, green, turquoise, and then a massive rejection of red. Whoa, where's that from? And it was all related to stuff with my father and everything else. I went on that whole journey of integrating the red. And it's, yeah, I wonder how that's manifesting. There. Purple, I would hope purple scores, but I don't know. Yeah, we don't actually, I say, we don't consciously do a lot. Like to see more. I feel it very strongly. Actually, last night gave me a sense, when we were in the salon, gave me a sense that we'd actually got a fairly well-developed purple in our system.
For example, how does purple manifest itself in your leadership? How do you manifest consciously or unconsciously leadership?
I think it's the starting point of all relationship. So purple is the starting point of all relationship, and you can't lead anybody if you don't have a relationship, and then otherwise you're just out there and there's a bunch of people. So it manifests in hopefully an enabling of a feeling of trust and acceptance and safety and relaxation in the relationship, but as a basis from, okay, I'm not, what I'd be working towards is that, you know, people don't feel that I'm the leader analyzing and judging them and trying to work out which value system are they in, etc. But there's a basic kind of foundation of trust within which people can relax into a relationship, and that, you know, therefore from out of which we can start to create stuff together. in more explicit forms, it could manifest in more ritualistic things, maybe. But the essence of it, I think, is the quality of a non-verbal relation. And it's much more a feeling. It's not really be verbalized. It's a feeling of connectedness and so on. Probably in the emphasis on purpose and principles, a lot as well. That's the kind of connecting. Although that's, you know, you could argue that that's more blue.